All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Daddy Long That Gang, and shout out to Real Life Crew.
Hey, you're one of 12 listeners of the Real Life Podcast.
Yeah, you know what? To define that better, I think the key there is...
Daryl Cat.
I just lost my train of thought.
God almighty, that's never going to get old.
It's so good. I noticed different things, just like in the Daddy Long Neck part.
Yeah.
I noticed different
things. The baby crying in the background?
Like just how he's, it's like he's getting, his girlfriend's calling and he's on the phone with his wife or something. He's so thrown off by that.
Sex is undefeated.
Yeah.
You know how many people mentioned that quote to me on Twitter? Like, hey, tell Chalmers sex is undefeated is hilarious. Like, yeah,
well, it's great.
I think he knows. But yeah.
Anyway, sorry to hijack the first part there. But no, like it's like that was a live interview, was it not?
Yeah.
It was like Daryl Cates was listening to it. Yeah. It was like calling him to be like, what are you talking about?
It just started.
It had?
He like, didn't know he was doing press.
No, it was a few minutes into the interview. It wasn't right at the start.
Oh, well, okay. Yeah. Like, but he didn't know he was on the air, is what I heard.
Oh.
He was just phoning him.
He
wasn't like trying to call and interrupt the interview and be like, tell him fucking Brandon Manning trade was great, Cliff. Real Life Podcast. I'll tell you what, I'm surrounded by champions. This is an honor. This is more exciting than when I got to eat and drink out of the Stanley Cup last fall.
Yeah, we're number one.
Number one men's league division. Give me the deets. What do you got?
We're division D1.
Division D1.
D1.
Alberta men's league.
River Cree. Cree Hockey League.
Cree Hockey League.
But our division is D1, and we just let people jump to the conclusions that it means Division 1.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to be in that camp, that's cool.
What does it actually mean?
So, well, truth be told, there is like F up to G divisions in there.
So A is better than you?
Yeah, A is the best, and there's like 8 teams. There's like 85 to 90 teams in this league.
Yeah.
And there's probably around 8 to 9 teams in every division. And so...
keep talking.
Yeah, I will. And so the first, you know, Division 1's like guys who just finished playing college and coming back from like, you know, the A or something like that. And then Division B is a little bit worse. Division C's for your mid-30 to early 30s that still know how to play. And Div D's where we find ourselves now. Little in our late 30s, still want to, you know, compete and give her. It doesn't start really getting like that.
Run your shit down, Chalmers. You're motherfucking champions.
Yeah, it's true. And we've never...
The fuck? So, you still want to compete?
Yeah.
Where's the fire?
That is the fire.
You won.
I know.
You're playing in a division of top-tier athletes that just stepped away from European careers that were lucrative and tax-free. And now they're playing you guys, and they got fucking served.
And we dominated them.
What was the score in the final?
5-1.
5-1.
Oh, yeah. It was. So I got hurt in the first game against these guys.
In a series?
No, we played these guys in the first round. So okay. River Cree, it's a very intricate playoff system. Mm-hmm. It makes the page system in curling look very streamlined. So we played these guys our first game. We dominated these guys all year, and all of a sudden we played them, and they played the best game of their lives against us, mm-hmm. and we lost. It was tight, like 3-2.
3-2.
3-2. And I got hurt that game, so I was out for the rest of the playoffs. So,
is this why you couldn't turn the shovel over at the dirt shoveling
This is why
ceremony?
My shoveling skills were subpar.
You hear about this, Chalmers?
Oh, yeah. I heard a lot
on
of people
the news.
Chirping them.
You can see on the news, everybody's shoveling.
Yeah, it didn't help because on the news, Jason Greger to my right is chirping me as well. So people picked up on that. So
that's good. So
but Greger didn't know the backstory. But even if I told him, he still would have juiced me. But
limp wrist.
I was. Still am, kind of.
So anyways, yeah, when we play two game series. So we play the first round's two games.
Yeah.
If you win one, they win one. It goes to goal differential, right?
Like
the first, yeah. So the first series kind of seeds you. As wow. to where you're going to go.
So they're like A side, B side, and you met again in the final.
Kind of, yeah. Yeah. So.
What was the name of the team?
The Badgers.
Those pieces of shit.
Yeah. But you know what?
Two guys have NHL ELCs, I heard. And I heard one guy's just taking a break for substance abuse. He plays for the Hawks.
Well, they didn't play like in the final. But they're probably one of the only teams in that division that we didn't have a feud with. Because you get feuds still, right? Like it's
of course you get feuds.
Yeah, I sure do.
Yeah, we looked at your stats. It's like 60 points, two games, 800 penalty minutes, including one for biting.
Well,
Chalmers had the ultimate line to close out the game / championship.
Go on.
There was a guy, and Chalmers, you have to quote it because I wasn't on the ice, but I'll paint the situation of this guy.
Yes.
So they have this guy, and this is the guy actually hurt me. And I thought he lost control and took me into the boards from behind, and that's how I got hurt. But seeing how this guy played in the finals, I just think he's a prick. So throughout the game, he took liberties on our toughest guy.
He's always out of control.
Yeah, always out of control. He's also trying to play. He was trying to play the body and stuff. And this is men's league. Like, of course, like I like cheap shots here and there. I enjoy the tougher things of hockey. But in men's league, I kind of get sick of it now because I'm getting older and just fucking getting hurt sucks now. So anyways, this guy's running around like a prick. Trips our best guy from behind. He goes like
Kevin?
Legs. Nope. Our big guy, Pess.
Pess.
Yeah.
Goes into defense. The board's feet first. Pess wants to Pess. Murder this guy.
Pess is a monster.
Oh, yeah.
He's a monster.
I went and watched his final game in wherever the hell
he
was.
Yeah, he played senior AAA this year.
Like this year. Yeah. I went to his playoff
The guy's
game.
No
he's
joke.
Jacked.
No. And jacked. And tough.
No, he does not belong in D1.
And he's got a short fuse, too.
Yeah, I heard you guys fast forward, but I heard you wouldn't let him take his shirt off with the pictures at the end because he's still jacked.
No. No, we don't let him.
Shirt's off, but not you, Pess.
He works out every morning at 5 a.m. And trust me, he looks like it. And like, so yeah, no, we made him. You're not taking your shirt off for the picture.
Respect.
Yeah.
So this guy's running around.
Yeah, this guy running around. Takes out Pess. Pess wants to kill him. Pess, I think, takes a... Oh, Pess, yeah. Pess, yeah, anyways, he goes, hits another one of our guys. But somewhere in between, Pess got his chance to take a shot at this kid. Hits him, rocks him behind the net. And then the guy's on his butt trying to take Pess's ankles out while he's like being held by the ref. He's like he's I don't know how to describe this motion I'm doing, but he's just like reaching for something because he's so fed up.
You're trying to like grab the edge of a cliff as you're falling down.
Oh, well done.
Yeah. 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 That's very accurate. Exactly. And so at the end of the game, because he took a cheap shot at Lee in like the last 2 minutes. So Lee's pissed. And I'm like, oh my God.
Does Lee still go wild if anyone's
Lee's like, I'm going to take care of this guy. Well, anyways, Pess is on the ice. Pess gives the guy a shot and whatever. And the
game is out of reach at this point.
There's 20 seconds left now.
And you're up 5-2.
The boys are giving it to this guy because this guy is trying to cross-check guys and shit. And then Chalmers utters this line to him.
And it's perfectly quiet. And I just say to him, I'm like, you guys are getting beat 5-1 right now. And you want to end your night by getting beat up by this guy? And then he looks at me and he goes, what do you mean? I go, is that really what you want to do tomorrow? You want to wake up and tell your kids that not only did you lose the championship, but that you got beat up at the same time?
And the rink is quiet. So this guy's just like,
whole team, two guys on his team look at me and are just like, oh. Yeah. I'm like, is that really what you want to do? You want to end your night like this? Losing the championship and getting beat up. It was fucking, it just felt classic. So right because he just deserved it.
And did he shrivel?
Well, yeah,
Then he went to Kevy, which is like the safest guy on our team to talk to. And He's like, why are these guys going around trying to hit me and cross-check me? Like this, I'm like, oh my God, this guy's delirious.
Yeah. So, but like both 2 years ago, I got a tooth knocked out and I had to start wearing a cage because not only did I not like having 6 months with no tooth, but I was starting to get sticked a lot and I was noticing it and I didn't like it, right? Like in the face. And I'm just too old for this shit. And so I put a full cage on and that like really hampered my game because I love to play feisty, but I also love to talk. Like I love it. It's part of my game.
Can't chirp in the birdcage,
man. You know, and that's the problem is I've really held back because I have.
Can't you go like a glass shield?
So I did. Well, I went glass shield for like the first, well, I think that was 3 years ago.
The bubble, as they like to call it?
Yeah, for the bubble. I went first 2 years with the bubble and I just got sick of it fogging up. So I went with full cage.
Oh.
But it changed me. Like I don't respect guys who run around.
It's like riding on a tandem bike.
Yeah.
Once you're riding a tandem bike, you're like, nope, I can't be me.
I can't be me anymore. Yeah, can't exactly. And so I just like, I curbed that part and it just never felt right. But
you're like for those listening, there's three of you. Congratulations. You're like Matthew Tkachuk type player. You're like going to go out and stick someone in the balls and run around and then do something, but also get points and then stick a guy in the eye and tell him to go fuck himself afterwards in the lobby.
That's accurate.
And it's how you've been living since you're like 12.
Yeah. Yeah. It's accurate. I have a short fuse.
Yeah.
But good,
because you back it up with points.
Yeah.
It's not like if you were a plug and you walked around talking shit, it wouldn't have worked. But you could back it up on the score sheet.
So sometimes, I used to relate it to when I would get into like chirping battles. I would never think of what to say. But afterwards, it would be like Will Ferrell, like in
Blackout.
And it just all came to me, and it was like really good stuff.
Oh, the great Jay-Z doesn't write his rap. And I'm like,
what did I say?
Jay-Z doesn't write his rap style. He just goes in and spits fire. Chalmers, same shit.
I'm the opposite. When I
he studies his notes like Eminem on the bus.
When because if I get mad at I get like I'm just like mad, so I'm just like overcome with rage, and I say the worst shit, like in the sense of like. It's not good. It's not a good chirp. It's like, fuck shit. Like you nerd. Like you're just like, blah, like,
yeah.
You nerd.
Well, right. Like I just kind of, I keep it. I wish it is a craft. Like I especially the guys like in the NHL, like the prevent they're scripted. Yeah. They're doing their homework on guys. Like they go do that.
I was
practice.
Talking to a buddy who's in the show and he was saying like, there are guys who will study like your life.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And, you like, got to go off
on
board.
Insta.
Yeah.
We got to throw them off the game, right?
Yeah. And then, like, get in your, and, like, your dad is this.
And you can't go too personal, though.
Oh.
Like, but I know that they do. But, like, for
there's
like,
zero mercy.
Yeah. That's
same guy told me he can't play men's league in the off season because he's like, all you do in the NHL is try and hurt people as much as you can, as many times as you can, and, like, cross check your stick guy and break a stick over his face and you don't give a shit and no one does and it's hard for him to like take his foot off the gas.
Yeah.
And then when you play and they play in men's league, everyone wants to try extra hard on them which sets them off.
Yeah.
And then they just go back to their training and next thing you know they drop a guy and they didn't even realize what the hell happened.
It's like a black belt getting in a bar fight.
Well, it's like when we played roller hockey with a guy who played in the NHL. So that's the only way to play hockey with us is it was roller hockey. And he would lead the league in penalty minutes and get kicked out of every game because one guy would take it too far with him. And this guy, like, fights professionally, would just turn and, like, cross-check the guy, punch the guy,
and then that drop would set a guy. That would set our bigger friends off. And then they'd get all crazy.
Oh, yeah, it was awesome. Yeah.
We used to fill the penalty box in roller hockey. And then I'd get my what is it, cement time? It's not ice time. What is it?
I get surface time.
Surface
get
time.
Get on the surface.
Get my surface time.
I remember going to watch you play one time, Chalmers, like, 2001, very young man.
Oh yeah,
very young man.
Yeah, yeah.
And you were going around, and you had a visor,
mm-hmm.
and like your skates weren't done up, and you had like your jersey all untucked, and you're like, I don't even know if you had a mouth guard, but you looked like you could care less. But you were skating circles around everybody and telling everybody off simultaneously. Your team, their team, the bench. People are trying to kill you. You're skating backwards in the bench. The referee's holding you. And like you weren't mad. You're just like you are.
Yep.
Like a hornet, a jar. And you had like 3 points. I'm like, wow, this guy has got the Tkachuk gene.
Yeah.
Like chaos, right?
You got I don't even know where it came from because I'm not big. Like, and I didn't play like that when
you play
younger.
Big. It's a spirit thing.
You're always mouthy.
Even back when we played when we were
of
kids?
Of course.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, I remember it.
Like I remember.
Everybody was mouthy.
You don't remember being mouthy as kids?
Well, no, but I'm talking about like when me and JR. I was looking through my old hockey pictures and I found our team, like our one team from when JR's dad coached us. And fuck, that was fun. That was a good team. I was just reminiscing about it. And so I was trying to remember how I was as a kid, like playing hockey. I don't remember. I do not remember how I was. I don't remember like if I was lippy, if I was good.
Oh,
well,
I can guess you were lippy because I've seen probably. It's in your genes.
I probably was.
I don't see there being a lot of peace and tranquility from a 12-year-old you playing peewee. How old would you have been?
When me and him played?
Yeah, 13, 14?
No, I think we were 12. I think it was first year peewee.
Yeah.
So
what kind of stick were you rocking in those days?
Wood. I know you're rocking a Louisville
Messier.
Yeah, Messier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was blue and it had a wicked curve. And yeah. If I didn't have that, I had the same stick that everybody had. Was that Sherwood Coffee?
Oh,
the
yeah.
5090 That's or whatever it was.
The best stick for ball hockey.
That period. Had a wicked curve.
For ice or ball hockey?
Well,
for ice hockey.
For ice hockey.
I'm saying for ball hockey.
But it was
hockey,
also good for ball hockey. You needed a big curve for ball hockey. Yeah.
Yeah.
That thing was.
So.
Yeah. So there's our men's league. So then after the game, I snuck a couple of bottles of champagne in there, though we had like three flats for 16 guys.
72 beers crushed in a non-city facility, if you're listening, City of Edmonton.
No, they're not listening.
Yeah, so we sprayed the champagne. We drank out of the little cup that everybody else had been drinking.
Did anybody bring goggles for the champagne? Everybody was straight to the grill?
No, we straight took it
to
the head.
Good.
72 beers were crushed very quickly.
Very quickly. Well deserved. We went in afterwards to have some drinks again.
Yeah.
And we.
Tap 21?
Tap 25. Yeah.
25, yeah.
But yeah, same thing.
Yeah.
But it's like we usually spend about 30 to 40 minutes in the dressing room with a flat.
Yeah.
Well, we were still in there for only about 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And 72 were gone.
Boy, the boys were fired.
A lot
up.
Of trucks left over there that night.
Yeah.
A lot. And we got championship hats. They're pretty sweet.
Yeah. I think so many like
the trophies. Cup,
I know what happened to this cup in our dressing room, and it had to get cycled through like 20 other champions.
It was going. There was championship games all night.
Yeah.
So like the minute we were done with it, it was going to another team that was
greasy. I know. So I didn't touch the thing. I know some shit has been passed around somehow.
I'm not sick yet. So
well, remember like a
you
lot
drink
of people.
Out of it?
I did actually.
Oh, remember, when we had the Stanley Cup party.
Oh yeah,
like a lot of people the next week were sick.
JR was being kind of coy about everything. He was in his street clothes because of his wrist, right?
Coaching.
So he wasn't playing.
Yeah,
so inspiring. He didn't want to touch the trophy. He almost didn't even come into the picture on the ice.
It felt weird. I wanted to play so bad.
12 years in this league with the Stonecutters, you've played every game you possibly could, unless you were away.
Modest
and
mouse.
You felt weird about getting in the first championship.
I know you, but you guys went and bled and sweated out there, and I felt like it was your time to shine.
Real leaders don't need accolades, Chomer.
Yeah.
Anyways, I jumped in eventually and didn't touch the cup.
Vinyl jacket looked good.
Oh yeah,
that's the new look.
I was just going around. I was crushing BLs jacket? On the bench.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And inspiring. Just trying. Anytime someone had a good shift, I'd give them a pat.
Full fedora.
Yeah. You yelled at me.
Yeah, well, Chalmers goes, yeah, it's fucking rightfully so. So we're up 3-0. Like, we're dominating this game. Yeah,
I'm the worst coach.
The boys are dominating
hypocrite.
This game. And then they make it 3-1, and they kind of start taking momentum for a bit. And Chalmers goes and, like, I didn't know this at the time because I just saw the optics of it. Fragrantly hooks and takes down the guy that is public enemy number one.
Oh, nice.
But what Chalmers said is the guy actually grabbed his stick and pulled it in, and it was all big.
I was chasing him, and it was at the end of my shift. So yes, I was being a little bit lazy, but I just wanted to give him a little tiny, like, let me know that I was there. Because he was getting headed off. He literally, as my stick kind of touched him, he grabbed it with his arm and like pulled it. It sucked it in basically. And as I gave the smallest little pull to pull it out. And he went down, and I was
like he just got to go hook the guy.
Oh, man, penalty?
Oh, hell yeah.
So Chalmers gets a hooking penalty.
Mm, right? Coach Downton won't like that one.
No, well, I'm like, okay, that's fine. That's fine.
It wasn't this I got yelled for.
And Chalmers gets right out of the box, starts chasing another guy with the puck. And then what do I see? He's got his fucking stick hooked around the guy's elbow, and he's pulling. I'm like, what the fuck? I'm yelling. I'm like, Chalmers, stop! Like, what are you doing? Like, he literally, like, seconds earlier came out of the box for a hooking penalty, and the game was tight at the time, and they had momentum, and he go immediately to go do it again. So yeah, no.
But
Will Ferrell blacked out.
To my credit, I did hear you yell Chalmers. Put my stick over to the side, looked at you guys, and shift changed.
Yeah, see? Coaching.
Came in there and I went, sorry.
I'm like, if I can't play, I got to contribute some fucking way. I was trying to be very positive with everyone, but if I saw breakdowns, I was going to sit everyone aside. I had to talk to Big Foogie, talk to him about some positional things, which is par for the course because Foogie's just out there to have a good time.
Did anyone have an inspirational goal in the finals?
Foogie.
Foogie did.
Foogie scored, effectively the game winner. Big Foogie was in playoff mode. This guy came to... any listeners, if anyone's listening. Talking about this, but...
Ryan Smith.
Man. So everyone needs to know about the Foogie. Like Ryan Smith. Foogie is the most excitable guy ever.
We're going to have him on the show.
Oh, perfect.
We're going to have him on the show.
He came to the room and he was talking so fast that you couldn't understand him because he was so excited and nervous at the same time.
And his mind never stops moving and therefore he talks about it. So he'll ask you a question oh man, what are we doing this weekend? And then be like, what did you do last week? And, oh man, remember in May of 2017? And he'd be what question do you want me to answer?
He'll do that while you're playing hockey with him.
What? He'll talk to you on the ice?
He's singing songs. He's singing country songs out loud, skating down the ice. Because he just has to, he's the best. He's the fucking best. So he realized that parking himself around the net and in front is his game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he was Conn Smythe, man. He scored so many goals from just in the blue paint.
He outscored outscore his brother?
Our best player on our team is his brother, who's
Mike
just
outscored Kevin
for the first four games of the playoffs. Ended up not because then Kev just does Kevy things.
For the record, Kevy has NHL skill.
Yeah.
And Foogie just went out the album. But that's the thing. He found his office and he owned his space.
Brent Gretzky got some goals too that year.
That's right.
Fortunately, he's got junior novice motivation. He's got NHL skill with junior Timbits novice. Timbits junior
And attention
motivation.
Span. And I say that with love.
Anyways,
there you are. Stonecutters, Division D1 champions, 2018-19.
Well fucking done. Chalmers, congratulations. Jay, congratulations. Stonecutters.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
We thought we'd bring some positivity to the podcast.
Humanity. Congratulations. It takes a village to raise champions.
It's goddamn right.
Well, I bet you our average age compared to that team, we were probably on average 8 years older than them.
Oh, yeah.
You old fucks.
Yep.
Let's take a break. Real life podcast.
Got holes to dig, earth to pack, and roads to build? Then you need to call Japa Machinery Group. Does your equipment need a service? You can't fix stupid, but here at Japa Machinery Group, we can fix everything else. With a full range of parts to keep your equipment running smoothly, Japa Machinery Group is a family-operated and Alberta-grown business. Here to help build a bigger and better Western Canada. Give us a call or visit us at japamachinery.com. Japa Machinery Group. Join the family.
So I was just thinking about this, that you posted that picture.
Yeah,
On the Instagram, the Oilers Nation.
Nation Real Life on Instagram.
Nation Real Life Instagram account. Yeah.
I took over.
Yeah, yeah. And you posted our picture.
Yes.
Yeah. And I was just thinking about people love talking about beer, men's league hockey. There's so many good stories about it.
Well, there's nothing more Canadian and more Edmontonian.
When we sit in our dressing room with all the guys, the best part of the game is the half an hour before and the half an hour after, where we just talk about anything, and it always reverts back to hockey stories, going out stories, and so beer league hockey. So I was thinking about this on the Instagram for Nation Real Life. I want to hear some people go and comment on it and tell us some stories, or at any of the social media platforms, just tell us some funny men's league stories, because I love them. I love listening to them. I love everything that has to do
with it. The games are intense.
Yeah, man. It is intense.
Yeah.
Who's your Foogie? Do you guys have a guy that literally sings country music skating down the ice?
Yeah.
And is the guy that's always there 35 minutes before the game, 5 minutes before everybody else, and has to sit in the exact same corner? You know what I mean?
And does he take up 10 feet
of dressing space? Does he lay out all his equipment?
Does he have his toiletries hung up? Does he put cologne and pit stick on after the game, even though you played at 11:30 and you're going straight to bed anyways?
Yeah.
Do you have that guy? Let us know.
And everybody has their Chalmers. Tell some stories about
Hit it up.
And if you play in the River Cree League, send us photos of your red hat, because champions red hats.
Yeah, yeah, big time.
The one thing that pisses me off about this podcast, the only thing, is you don't get to hear from anybody.
Yeah, we don't get very much interaction from people. We want more. Want more.
I actually know the numbers, and the numbers are good.
Yeah.
It's 13. We have 13 listeners.
Yeah.
But it's good, and you'd think.
You'd think they'd want to talk.
One at least. And sometimes on Twitter, like, you actually, stuff you say, Chalmers, gets a little bit more traction. Yeah. But like, I wish there was a way that we could have more regular conversation with people.
Oh, I love
it. I love social media because I like talking to people. And I like them coming back at me and yelling
so
at me.
So do I.
Maybe we should have like a fan phone in.
I don't know that.
Well, I do know. I do know that we're all we need to same. Say yes. Like, or like Nation Real Life Instagram account, like more, like just like tell people about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because like I loved when I said the Gaga stuff, which is still stand by.
Yeah.
How many people chirped me?
Yeah.
But it was even more fun to see how many people agreed with me.
Oh.
And just to see like both sides, man. I don't care. I like
getting chirped.
Yeah. I think it's fun.
I think it's hilarious when people tell me off because I'm like, fuck you. Why are you paying attention? Like, I don't know you and you don't know me. And yet you want to tell me off because I didn't throw my pants on the ice at double hat trick night. Whether or not you like me or not is irrelevant. We are friends.
Yeah.
We are friends in my book. You know what the fuck's happening.
We should try to create like a 10-minute segment where we encourage people to reach out to.
Yeah, of course. We've done phone.
Jared?
Is it phoning in? Is that?
Yeah, phoning in.
Yeah. Yeah, we've done that.
So who the hell is going to give their phone number out?
Well, they're not just going to tweet us, phone us, but like, we'll connect with someone and say, hey, anyone listening, one of you 13 people, please
bastards.
Reach out to us on the socials if you want to come in for a 10-minute just conversation about whatever you want to talk about. If you want to rip us, great.
Mm-hmm.
I prefer that. But if you want to bring up the Lady Gaga debate, or you have a new Lady Gaga debate.
Yeah, or even ones where
bring it in.
Like,
and then we'll do like a 10-minute call.
Yeah, there's an answering machine on there.
Yeah.
That's just like, tell us what you want to know.
So someone and hits us up, we'll say, yeah, let's do this. And then we do the phone number exchange.
I mean, we can figure out the logistics later, but yeah.
I give my phone number out.
No.
We're going to come to your house and record the podcast.
We'll just have them send us audio files with their questions.
Audio files of the questions are the best because like,
oh, that's smart.
And they can be questions about anything.
Like, well, let's give them a chance to defend themselves. What if we don't agree with their argument?
I guarantee you I don't agree with their argument. I don't know what we're talking about, Chalmers. I guarantee I don't agree.
Yeah, but
wrong.
We can't have like a full scale argument or conversation with every single person. We just maybe
no, one person a week.
Oh.
So we say, hey, reach out. Do you want to?
I know that I say there's 12 people that's listening. If every single person listening messaged us, it would be chaos.
Yeah. So we pick
one
a week.
You're picking 52.
You pick one a week.
Okay.
Talk to him for 10 minutes.
Maybe we should try to expand that a little bit, but
I would like to find a way to have people tell
us. Less of the nation. The nation's about connection.
Yes.
And
engagement.
I feel like when we do this, we have such a good time for like 2 hours and then I leave and it's like, there's nothing. It's just, I don't get to have any,
what are you talking about?
No, but, and then I'll run into somebody and they'll be like, I heard it and I listened to it.
Go comment on shit, man. Like that, like, look, I'll give you an example.
Get in the mix, man.
So I have a guy
on
Twitter I've been talking to. B-L-U-C-H-A-N-S-K-I. Bluchanski.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
This guy is a fucking referee. And I do not appreciate his type. C-C-R-H-L ref. Look at this photo. It's fucking. Okay? Look at this, Jay.
He looks like a ref.
Bluchanski.
He looks like a referee.
He comes out of nowhere and tells me off the other day on Twitter. Like, harsh.
Right.
And now we're boys. And I'm like, whoa, easy stripes. And I like find a way to go out of my way.
What was the hot button topic that started this?
He's a fuckhead. He's a referee. I don't care what referees say.
Just like Chris the intern.
So then the other day he goes, this is where I have fun. So he goes, is it a jersey faux pas to wear Connor McDavid jerseys? The All Kings game tomorrow. They're the only jerseys my son and I have. So remember, this guy is like a hardcore hater. He chirped. I can't remember what he said anymore because I have a very short attention span. Hard. I was like, yeah, man, wear your fucking McDavid jerseys. Like, I think you should wear McDavid jerseys to every sporting event, period.
Mm-hmm.
He took a photo of this kid.
That's a good looking kid. Yeah, that's nice.
Me, right?
Oh, yeah. Called you Mr.
What's the
Gretz.
Hat?
Mr.
What's
Gretz.
The hat?
That's right. Mr. Gretz, goddammit.
What's the hat?
Oilers?
Well, the answer is yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Connor McDavid jersey, you're allowed to wear.
So he looks good.
Weddings.
Everything and anything.
Bar mitzvahs.
If you go onto the Iceland Air Waves feed when of Monsters and Men.
If you scroll back 12 months. 24 months.
Yeah, yeah. A Monsters Men played a very intimate show in Iceland Airwaves when we were there. And I wore, because I knew this was going to be special because I love the Monsters and Men.
Mm-hmm.
So I wore my McDavid jersey to it.
Amazing.
So, and we were four or three
we got
rows
three
back
shows
from
early
from the stage.
Just so we'd be close.
Are they Canadian?
No, they're
Icelandic. So they're in the motherland.
Monsters and Men is
yes.
And they came home.
Yes.
Oh,
so they came and I'm in my McDavid jersey because that warranted such a fine garment
Amazing.
As that. And, but it was cool because it smoked out a lot of people, like hockey fans from here. I was talking to people from Stavanger,
Yeah.
The other Oilers?
A guy from the Icelandic Pro Hockey League. Remember that guy? He's like, hey, smoked out any Canadian.
So that's pretty cool. But we got to understand there's a fine line here. We've talked about this before where you can't just like wearing a Connor McDavid jersey to an Oil Kings game. That's fine.
That's okay.
Right. But you're not going to wear like a Connor McDavid jersey if you're going, if you're in LA and you're at an Anaheim game.
I disagree.
Game. Well, I don't like that.
I think just Connor McDavid jerseys.
Yeah, just the
Connor.
Best.
Just
yeah.
Connor.
Just the best. Because one of my pet peeves are people that wear jerseys to games.
That's the wrong
teams
one.
That's the teams aren't playing.
But like, so you be that
But
guy.
Like, there's a few players in the world where like they escape that gravity. McDavid, Gretzky,
Jordan,
Lemieux. Jordan.
So you're basically just saying I like hockey.
I wore Connor McDavid jersey. No,
you're
to saying, an
you're,
Oakland
you're telling
game.
Everyone yeah. that I know what hockey's about, and McDavid is better than any of your players.
I wore a McDavid jersey to an Oakland A's game, like unapologetically. I don't give a shit. The Connor.
See, I
I'm walking around.
Cross
though,
sports though.
I'm walking around. This guy walks up to me, and goes, "What the hell are you doing wearing a Connor McDavid jersey at a baseball game? I'm like, do you know anything about hockey? No, I'm a Sharks fan. I'm like, is Connor McDavid the best player in the league? Yeah. I'm like, that's why I'm wearing the fucking jersey. Peace.
When you're at that level, it's actually just fashion at that point.
Yes. Just Connor. Although if someone wore a Draisaitl game jersey, I think
you're stepping. It's
own the ignorance.
Yeah, but I'd say McDavid is
my favorite guys walking around downtown. Girls too, I assume. I don't know any people who wear jerseys on non-game days.
Oh my god,
I love it. Guy walking down Jasper Ave.
I always wonder when they get up and they're like, I gotta go and run some errands, and they look and they're just like,
where's my Taylor Hall jersey?
Where's my jersey?
It's time to make a move.
Just chuck it on and walk down the street with my jersey on in the summertime.
I respect the shit of it. But getting back to talking to Bielichansky.
Yes.
These are the interactions that are funny.
Yes.
Like, he's like, this guy, Wanya, is a tit, and I'm going to tell him that he's an idiot and fuck that guy. And now we laugh, and now he's saying things, and now we're friends. And that's fun.
I just realized that I kind of want to get chirped, but I don't really want to have to
do
respond.
Anything.
Yeah. I don't have to do anything about it. Like, it's a, I don't know. Doing social media is a pain in the ass for me. I don't like it.
You know what? Just devote 30 minutes a day to it.
Not even.
But
10 minutes a day.
Yeah.
It's easy.
Just engage.
Engage. People want to talk to you.
They do.
Go talk, Chalmers. Go talk in comments. Be like, everybody, fuck you. And watch how many. Go be you on the ice on social media.
Yes. Go and book watch everyone in the comments section.
Exactly. Start fights. It's funny.
Sounds good.
You see what 50 Cent does on Instagram?
No, but I hear you tell me a lot of the
insane
stuff.
Insane shit. Right now, he's telling off the producer of Power, his show, who he claims he lent $1 million to. And this guy's texting 50, like, 50, please stop. I think I'm going to the ER. I'm having a heart attack, man. He's like, give me my money, bitch. I'm sure it's all fake. It's very entertaining.
Did you see just the other day? And I just cannot stand Sean Avery because of a lot of his stuff. But the one effective use of social media that he had, where he basically...
The racist guy?
Yeah. That was... And I don't like Sean Avery, but I hate racists even more. And like, that guy deserved it. And like, at the first sign of Sean Avery being like, okay, I'm going to post your racist photo or your racist like rant if you don't give some money to charity. That's a really good idea, right? Yeah. And then he did it anyways, which I kind of laughed at. I kind of thought was funny. So like, that's what's the thing about social media. It just gets to me. I would never be super, like, I could never be out of line. I just don't operate that way.
Well, operate that way. I remember one time we were at Ezzy's and we got into a fight outside and you went and got a golf club out of your trunk. You do operate that way.
Yeah.
You haven't figured out how to operate like that in 2019.
Self-defense.
Nice. Yes, but with words, I have structure. I think a little bit more with the words, I think. But yeah, I would just love to hear from people and just like
have more
interaction.
Yeah, well, imagine we had
tell us what we're doing right. Tell us what we're doing wrong.
Like my boy Stripes,
we all tell
so
each other
so far up his fucking ass.
Yeah,
but well, and maybe we could have someone on the phone right now, and we can discuss the Battle of Winterfell.
Oh, you know what?
It's real life. Like, what's on your mind? What's the itch?
You know what? I've got a segment here on my notes, which are written in lipstick on the back of a napkin. It just says Nerd Alert, Avengers, and Got.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Gotcha.
So I go and get a beer and Little Brick and sit down and drink my beer and maybe come back in 15 minutes and you two fucking
we can just nerd out?
Yeah, talking about...
No, you might...
See, God, I don't know how
to listen and then just ask random questions.
I didn't read Lord of the Rings. I don't know how to talk to you people.
I like to fancy myself as an anti-nerd. because I do really cool stuff at all times.
With nerd tendencies.
Because I'm pretty fucking up.
Everyone deep down inside is a giant nerd. It's all good.
Yeah. I mean, you can nerd out on anything. It's just like, it's kind of...
Could you nerd out on being cool?
There are people out there that aren't nerds. Who's an example of somebody who's so fucking...
cool that they're...
effortlessly cool and you're like, I hate you.
John Hamm?
Oh, yeah. John Hamm?
John Hammertime?
Yeah. Henrik Lundqvist. Henrik Lundqvist is so cool that like he gets up in the morning and puts on sweats or like fucking
he's
irons.
In a band.
Yeah.
Does all,
some people aren't nerds. Bastards.
Well, and they just can't be Brad despite Pitt. How hard they try.
Brad Pitt. Could never do a nerdy thing.
I don't know. Adopting 9 kids is kind of stupid and that kind of took his cool down.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
He's banging his way across Hollywood.
There's the male Lady Gaga here.
Oh, about Brad Pitt?
Oh.
Nobody loves
Pharrell.
Brad Pitt. Two of my favorite movies in the world are Brad Pitt's movies. And like, I love this
Money
guy.
Ball,
which ones?
And Death Takes a Holiday.
Yeah, right. No.
Elvin Louise and...
Meet Black.
He was in that one?
Cool
Meet
Money.
Meet Black.
No, Meet Joe Black's
I didn't
a good
know he
movie.
Was
that
in
was a good movie.
No, I love Snatch. Snatch is my one of my favorite movies of all
time.
Yeah, you talked like you were in a Guy Ritchie movie from about 2002 to 2009.
I acted like I was in a Guy Ritchie movie.
You had three beers in you and you were fucking Bricktop.
Oh my God. We wrote sight lines from movies at all times.
At all times.
And it was always those ones.
Great
but,
movies.
But yeah, so that one. And then the one... I don't remember the name of it now. With Christian Slater, the one where Christian Slater,
Interview
Rosanna,
with a Vampire.
No, and Rosanna Arquette, and he's the stoner.
Oh, Brad True Pitt. Romance.
Yeah, I love that movie. That's a great movie. But
the one where they're in the desert.
No.
Wait, what was the one I just saw? They're in a desert. It turns out to be vampires in a fucking bar.
Dusk Till Dawn.
Oh, that's such a sick movie,
dude. That movie's awesome.
I did not know what that movie
that's
was
George
about.
Clooney and Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah, that's the one.
Movie was man.
You think that movie's gonna be one thing, and then it turns into a completely different thing.
I've never heard a word
thing.
About it. I'm like, oh, this seems nice, and then I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah, Game it's crazy.
Or,
it's
Walking Dead shit.
Salma Hayek is good in that movie.
Anyways, Chalmers.
Yes.
Battle of Winterfell. Give me your thoughts.
Okay, so my thoughts are, and we're not going to spoil anything because it's just a jerk move.
Who
but
cares?
I think,
it's over 24 hours. Well,
no.
By the time this gets released, it'll be over 24 hours.
What if you piss off one of our 13 listeners? We can't take the...
Like
Oh my God, I have questions, and I can't wait till next week.
Okay, I thought it was fantastic. I thought that there was a bunch of things that happened in this that recalled back to why we all pay attention to this for 7 seasons. Little tiny things. Like, are we going to spoil this? Because it would be a lot more fun if we could.
Caption, spoiler alert.
We can put in the title.
Spoiler alert.
In the title, GOT,
right
spoiler
now,
alert.
Right now, I will say, anyone listening to this, if you don't want to know anything about Game of Thrones,
fast forward
all
to
right,
a
so that was like
time.
A legal It'll, indemnity there, yeah. So now no one can lay claim.
Legal.
Okay. Fire away, Chalmers.
Go.
Okay.
We're in a safe place.
Okay. So, going through the episode, I loved everything about the start of it. I loved the fact that Melisandre, the Red Witch, showed up.
Yeah.
You knew she was because she said in 2 seasons ago, she said, "This I have to come back here because this is where I die." Do you not remember that?
Yes.
It was awesome. And right when she showed up, I was like, okay, she's going to help. And that's good. And so immediately she fires up all the Dothraki swords.
Yes. Oh,
and it was
cool.
Epic filmmaking at its best to just watch that happen.
Oh, man.
And then in the best twist of all, the whole army goes in and is extinguished within like...
No, what are you fucking... I'm looking at
we did it. We did it. We said a big... We said we weren't allowed to...
Did you hear the spoiler alert?
No, I wasn't listening. Who gives a shit?
Take your earphones off.
Legal spoiler alert. Yeah.
So anyways, they all
for
get,
real? Okay, so the only people who are listening right now are people who know they're about to hear this?
Yes.
Yes.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Continue talking.
Yes, so they're extinguished. That is the real
one
moment where
actually
every...
checked out of this conversation.
I do not know or care. I don't know anything you're talking about.
I'm not going to break down the whole episode, but right after that moment, I had to pause my TV about 3 times because I thought that there was a setting that was wrong. I thought that my TV was set too dark. And
it's Game of Thrones, man. Right? There's so many. That show lives in the dark. If you don't watch, like I had every curtain and blackout curtain drawn down and I made sure to watch it when the sun went, it was dark outside. Like, you know, it's going to be, and you knew the battle was going to be.
And so
night.
Did I. I just didn't think because they had gone so many episodes without making it that dark. And in the very beginning,
every episode's got a dark scene. Oh,
yeah,
I guess like the first 2 seasons. Yeah, yeah.
The first 2
yeah.
seasons were epically dark. And then these ones, like, it's just, it's been a while since they did that. And I'm going, this is the most important episode. Are they really going back to this? And, you know, by all accounts, from what people said on social media, yeah, like that was, everybody noticed it. So many people had a problem with it.
Brad Stepanko tweeted out, beauty of this guy. I love this kid.
Yeah.
He tweeted out recap of Game of Thrones, and it was just a black, just a pic, a photo.
That's pretty
black.
Funny. Yeah. But I understand what they were doing because it was so dark. I sat forward a little further and I focused a little harder. Oh, yeah. And I believe that every single time something happened, that I was a little more like, my senses were just a little more heightened because of the darkness. And I'm not sure if that was, you know, a ploy by them or like a tactic, but that's what I felt. Then like when people were kind of bitching about it, I was going, it kind of helped me in a way. Like, did I really need to see the ravens fly over the Night King in perfect, you know, HD vision? Like, no, I got the idea. Bran was in the ravens. He went to go see where the Night King was and he found him. There he is. He's on a dragon. Like it, you know, So that was really, really sweet. But then the whole battle, like how goddamn confusing was that? It's just like people were just everywhere and you're just swinging your sword. Like really, you're just swinging your sword.
Well,
I don't know. What'd you think of the,
yeah,
of the beginning?
Like it was like, so not as many key people died as I thought they would.
No, me neither.
But like you just saw like you saw Jamie, you saw Brienne. They're just there just swinging their swords nonstop. And just like constantly killing all these guys.
And constantly saving each other. Everybody was saving somebody at a perfect time. You know, and I really liked the part where they kind of did like, okay, this is a roll call now. Jon Snow's going to walk through the castle. And as he's walking, he's going to be looking right, looking left. And you're going to get a vision of these power players. Over there, Sam, laying in a thing of bodies, crying. Yeah. Exactly what you thought he'd be doing. There's Brienne, there's Pod, and there's Jaime Lannister, and they're up against a wall with their backs to it, and they are just fighting for their life.
Hound crying against the wall.
There's the Hound over there. There's Beric, and Beric, I mean, like, this guy, like, he lived up to his purpose. He came back 9 times or however many he was for the one sole purpose, and he fulfilled that purpose, right?
Well, and like, he gets the first assist on the kill.
Oh, yeah. And like, when she says that to him, like, do you remember the Melisandre and Arya's first meeting when they were under the,
she was with
the brothers. Yeah. And basically she just like looked at her and said like, you've got darkness in your eyes and you're going to kill people with this color's eye, like all. And she names a bunch of colors. And then she's like, I'm going to see you again.
No, she said, I think she said she'll close a bunch of people's
close
eyes.
Close a bunch of eyes. Yeah. Like blue eyes, like black eyes.
And then and she talked about color.
Yeah.
This time.
And so he kind of didn't know what the hell that meant. And there's all those little times in that show throughout, right to the very first episode when Arya sneaks up on Jon in the Godswood and after he's missed out, like, just what do you want to do? You want to not,
like, you're making up places and people. Like, here's what I hear. Like, you're talking backwards in that Missy Elliott song.
It might be the most important show that's ever happened. It might be the last time people talk in real time about a TV show.
Oh yeah. Without a doubt.
It's all dragons, swords, suits of armor.
Mm-hmm.
There is more money and more brains being thrown at writing. Hold on now. It's good. Go ahead, Jared.
Speaking of suits, if you're looking for a new suit, visit our friends at Indochino.com. How it works is you measure yourself online, download the little measurement tool, or go into one of their showrooms, select your style, customize your suit, and then bang, 2 to 3 weeks later, you got yourself a brand new suit. In fact, we're taking Chris the intern and Jay down tomorrow.
My calls and cries to go to Indochino so I could get sized up.
Oiler suit?
I got to see what my options are because I believe my options are endless.
Endless.
Absolutely.
I might go buy 3 Connor McDavid jerseys and get Indochino to turn into a suit.
Get a nice Jon Snow style suit.
Oh, a lot of... Well, hey, whoa. I don't believe in animal cruelty, Chalmers.
Oh. Get the one without the fur, then. Fuck.
You know what?
So anyways, finally.
Fuckers.
I got to jump in. I'm really excited about this. So tomorrow, I'm going down to the Indochino location, West Edmonton Mall.
Yep.
We're bringing the crew down because they want to record it, I guess, for content. And I'm finally...
Measure his inseam again.
I'm finally going to look fresh and start going, be able to go to a wedding when I get invited. Because I don't have a suit.
Have a wedding. You never know, Josh.
And I'm going to ask, and when I go to Indochino, I'm going to ask for the reinforced ass because I blew out the ass in my last suit at a wedding dancing.
Make the ass chainmail.
Yeah.
How many suits, pants, have you blown out at weddings dancing? You've blown out more than one.
Definitely two.
Pair of pants.
Definitely two. Well, I get aggressive with the lunges.
Okay.
And whatnot. Especially like, well, wedding, you know, you get, you know, a few sheets to the wind. You're having a good time. You get, and if the dance bug hits and you just feel and act out the music.
Every time Rasputin comes on and he's got to go into his Ukrainian dance.
I'm going down to Indochina. I'm throwing down. I'm going to throw down the challenge to him. I'm going to tell him all the past issues I've had with suits that I bought off the rack. And now I'm going to go to a professional and see what's up. So everyone get ready to watch my journey.
Beauty.
Thank you, Indochina.
Can't wait. Okay, let Jay just, you tell me what, like, so we got to the thing for when she snuck up there.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
That was cool. Just once. We'll finish up.
Well, then we got to talk about the Avengers Endgame, and Jared's going to make the same noises about his shit.
But we're not going to spoil Endgame because that's, none of us saw it other than Jared. And
three times.
Battle of Winterfell.
Three times.
It was trending worldwide above Endgame. Mm. People, we need to talk about this. So when Melisandre says and goes through the brown eyes, blue eyes, because Arya and Melisandre reconnect,
mm-hmm.
and it's like, you have closed many eyes. I've closed many eyes permanently. And then she started rambling the colors. So she said blue eyes, obviously connecting to the Night King.
Mm-hmm.
But the big fan theory thing going on right now is that the green eyes is Cersei. But my question is I thought how Melisandre was saying it was the order of which who was going down. Because she went brown eyes, which everyone's saying is Walter Frey.
Mm-hmm.
And then green eyes, which everyone's connecting to Cersei, but Cersei's still around. Mm-hmm. And then blue eyes. And it was the blue eyes that gave Arya the epiphany.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And then they said, What do you say to the god of death? Not today. And then she ran off and did her thing. Now, so that's one of the questions. So the fan theory all over social media last night was, okay, Cersei's next. Arya's going to get Cersei. So my next, so let's just park it there. So now we're going into the kill. How did she sneak in? Because she didn't go many face. Because she said she didn't wear blue eyes. Dude, she wore brown
this
eyes.
This is her home. The same way she snuck in 7 years ago on John, who also lived there. That's the whole point of that, is that this is her place. She's only gotten better at sneaking.
Okay, well, fair enough. There was a scene in the library there that was epic.
When the very first scene, the 20 minutes into episode one, when John's standing there because he's not allowed to be there for the king arriving, and Arya is nowhere to be found, and then she sneaks up on him, they were already 20 minutes into it showing you something that's was going to affect the biggest battle.
Oh, I know, and that's
time.
Why it's like, so good is, to rewatch and how connected it is.
It's amazing.
So but you think, okay, so how good I was, saw people saying that she went blue-eyed to like sneak in and come after the Night King, and that's why like he didn't notice the last minute.
No, there's no
she
way.
Just went straight.
Do you see little wisp? Do you see a little wisp of hair on the one
yeah.
dude?
Right? Was that from her running?
That was just from her speed, I think that was like a depiction of like something's about
it was
to
like
happen.
A wind it's, blowing
yeah.
in.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
how big was that jump too? Epic
oh
jump.
God. And just, and like even the, it was unreal. All I was hoping for is I'd hoping that, cause there was the theory also that the Night King is Bran.
Yeah. I think that's been put to bed.
Well, clearly, but, not definitely not clear. That's right. Cause everything is circular here, but I was really hoping the Night King was going to say something.
Yeah. I didn't think he was going to.
Anyway,
so do we want to do this? Do we want to stop it right here, not say another thing about it so that people can come back in?
Sure.
Yeah. All I want to say was
maybe
great
we should
episode.
Do another Indochino ad.
I look forward to it.
People are going to listen. We told everybody not to listen.
Yeah. Just jump forward to this point.
Okay. So if we are going to talk about Avengers, all we're going to talk about is just like how amazing it is that they.
Buddy, look at what I'm reading right now.
What is it?
Jersey Shore's Vinny Guadagnino claims he's banged over 500 women. I'm good. Like, keep talking. Just wave me in when you're done. Talk about.
Well, I have nothing to talk about Avengers because I haven't seen.
I didn't think.
Jared, all I know is it's done 1.2 billion in three days.
It's. I'm not going to spoil it for anybody, but it is unreal.
Yeah.
I'm a huge fan of these movies. The whole different phases and arcs and stuff, and it was like a love letter.
Was it perfect?
I mean, it's not my favorite one of all the movies, but it was unreal. I don't know how else you end such a big thing better than the way they did it.
Okay, so in your opinion,
yeah,
if I was going to watch, so I've only seen Infinity War. It's literally one of the only, other That's than it. Like the Iron Man's at the very beginning, I've only seen Infinity War. Yeah. Now, Endgame seems to be the culmination of a whole bunch of movies. 22 movies.
Yeah.
Which of those movies should I watch? And in like in, should I watch Avengers from 2012?
Yeah.
And then just watch the
and then just
story.
Infinity War.
Yeah.
Watch and then just Iron Endgame. Man. And
all the other ones are just character development for every member.
Yeah.
Of
watch
the
Iron Man 1, Captain America 1, the Thor stuff. I would watch Thor 3, Ragnarok, but definitely watch Avengers 1, Age of Ultron, Civil War. Also watch Captain America Winter Soldier. That's one of the one
basically
of the best
watch all
movies.
Of
pretty soon will be a 22.
So you can skip all of kind of the character development stuff if you understand comic
See,
books.
I do.
If I was going to guess, because I haven't seen all of them,
yeah,
skip Ant-Man.
Ant-Man's pretty good.
Ant-Man's pretty good.
Oh, you know what? I didn't think
you
Iron Man
kinda,
was going to be good, and then I went saw Iron
watch,
Man. It was unreal.
You got to kind of watch Ant-Man 2.
And 1.
No, one,
no.
You can just...
Ant-Man and
You know
the
what?
Wasp.
To be honest, I had a friend come with me to the movie, and he's never seen any of them, so I gave him a YouTube link, and I was like, here's 15 minutes of what you need to know to watch this movie. And that was good enough. And even though he hasn't seen any of them, he thought it was an amazing movie, enjoyable, everything. So if you haven't seen it, go see it.
How'd you deal with the length? 3 hours?
I made it through the whole thing
the
first time, and then on the second viewing that night, it was a little more relaxed. I'm like, okay, I can go to the bathroom. I don't have to use my catheter that I had put
in. That's
going to
be tough because I like to go into the VIP.
I always wear a diaper
that's
to
where
any
I was.
Movie that's
get some cocktails.
That's what I was. Yeah. I was in the VIP. I was drinking it up.
Good.
Me and Graham. All right. Enough with Endgame. Go see it.
Can we just talk it's about amazing. How much money nerds spend? In just Canada, the top 5 grossing movies of all time for their first opening weekend are number 5, Avengers. Number 4, Star Wars Last Jedi. Number 3, Star Wars Force Awakens. Number 2 is Infinity War. And number 1 is already Endgame.
Yeah.
That's just in Canada.
So, Chalmers.
God.
Maybe these are the cool kids and you're the nerd.
Maybe.
I'd love to see hockey teams broken down like a movie like that. And be like, oh, the Oilers show last season brought in like the aggregate revenue of ticket sales.
Yeah.
Because when you say like nerds are going to movies, other people are spending that money on hockey doing different things, right?
Yeah.
It'd be crazy to think that like for what how much does it cost to make an Endgame? $200 million?
I think the budget for Endgame was $350 million.
Yeah.
$350 million. Because they had to pay every actor, right?
Yeah.
A huge, huge movie.
Yeah. Well, it was paid back in its first day.
Yeah. Woo! Yeah. It did $300 million.
Like, these guys
But that's gross revenue.
That's before theaters take their cuts.
Yeah. But still, I mean, they paid for it in a weekend.
It's definitely
they've got a long life.
Now they're in the gravy chain, and I'm sure there's some guys that are on the back end that got some back end deals.
Who owns Marvel?
Disney.
Oh my god,
Disney owns.
I checked Disney stock. I thought it'd be through the roof. It is not.
wait till Disney Plus comes out.
Well, when they announced
quarterly
Disney
earnings,
Plus,
right?
The
quarterly earnings is
when they announced Disney Plus, it shot up like 20%.
Yeah.
Now Marvel's got so much weight in Melbourne. There's two big footy stadiums. You got the MCG.
Yeah.
And then you had what was called the Etihad Stadium.
Yeah.
It is now called the Marvel Stadium.
Crazy.
Marvel bought the branding rights?
Yeah.
Interesting. I wonder why they do
that. Chris Hemsworth.
So just like...
I have no idea.
Just like Star Wars was once a George Lucas property, and then he sold it to Disney.
Yeah.
Was Marvel a Stan Lee property?
So Marvel was spun off in like 98 to 01, somewhere in there as a publicly traded company, and they went public to start making movies about their comic books.
Mm-hmm.
Then they blew up. Then they had a catalog. Then Disney bought them.
And so did Stan Lee like make out like a bandit?
Oh, yeah.
Was he part of this startup? And
Oh, yeah. I think Stan Lee was like one of the principals when they went public.
All right. I'm going to go Stan
Lee.
There's
a long story about...
Mickey Mouse owns Darth Vader. Think about that.
Yeah, I know.
That's some shit.
And Disney owns ESPN.
Disney owns everything.
Like,
eventually,
and yet they divested
the one company.
Of the Ducks. I wonder if they would do that again.
Hockey team?
Well, I feel like if they'd applied their Disney brand production genius to the Mighty Ducks, they would be the Dallas Cowboys by now. Take what Vegas is doing.
For sure.
But Disney just never really clicked with the Ducks.
Yeah.
Right? That's what I feel.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'd be genius if Disney owned fucking sports teams. Because they have the ability to not only run movies really well, but they're amazing merchandisers. They have their own parks. Mm-hmm. So when they're buying Star Wars, they're like, okay, we're going to have Star Wars Park in all 8 Disney properties worldwide and shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like they can run, they'll pump content. Don't worry about it.
You're watching a video of Scott Disick do something?
No, that's an ad, player. Oh. I'm reading about Chris Brown.
All they do is keep repurposing the Tower of Terror as some new franchise.
The Death Star
Guardians
drop.
Of the Galaxy now.
Great ride, by the way.
Disney's going to own everybody before they're said and done.
That's right.
That's
Bob
their
Iger
goal.
Makes a lot of money. You read about this lately, Charles? CEO of Disney made like $66 million last year. The average Disney employee makes like $40,000. What the fuck? Fire that guy. Give all the money to the line workers.
That just doesn't make any sense. Without him, without a guy like him, they would lose employees because they wouldn't be doing as much work.
Mm-hmm. Without a guy, I don't know. Without a guy like him, they wouldn't have done the acquisition of Marvel. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
He did a lot. What was the old guy's name?
Eisner.
Eisner took Disney from being like one of the world's movie companies to being like the media company.
Mm-hmm.
For doing big ass deals like that. How much money are you entitled to give? I don't know. Very unpopular. People don't want to hear that. Shit.
People, I just don't know why these guys sign, like Roger Goodell, they just figured it out in the NFL. He signed a new contract and he has non-disclosure on his salary.
It's strange like, to me that first, like Trout goes up to the bat and everyone's like, yeah, and they played the money song after he signed his contract. But people don't want to see that with business people.
No.
They only want athletes and rappers and actors to be rich.
Like why? Because they can see the tangible work they're doing?
I don't know. It's weird.
I don't know. It is weird. But what's funny is when you have a lockout, fans always side with management.
Yep. Because they want their...
Because they want their... Yeah, because they think that the players are being spoiled and that like they're asking for too much.
Only once every 10 years do we think the players are spoiled.
When we lose a season every 10 years of NHL hockey?
Yeah. When's the next one coming up?
So what was... It's 2004 was a strike. Is it a 10-year deal?
I think they do like 8-year deals. I think it's 2020, 2021.
Next year, I think.
Oh.
Let's see.
Well, get ready to batten down the hatches because that's always fun. One year we went to Asia.
So what else you got on your lipstick napkin?
I don't know. How much time we got left, Jaren?
We got like 5 minutes. We could do best in the week.
Well,
a little GM chat.
What about the building update?
I want to talk about the building.
Let's talk about the building.
2021, 22. Oh, the building.
Chalmers, I want to do a building update every week. We're building a building down the street from Little Brick. Mm-hmm. I love talking to you about construction because you always correctly predict all the problems that we're going to have. I'm always way too optimistic and think shit's going to work out. I think it's funny.
Yeah.
And with this building being built down the street, I want to go and check on it every single day, yell at everybody, have a good time. Tim the building super, I already warned him. I think it's funny to talk about.
Yeah.
So last week we did a metal detector test of the land.
Yeah, and we should. You
and
should.
We found this giant... sack of shit. Like
I know you
shit.
just showed me the picture the other day. This is way more impressive.
Posted on Insta.
Yeah.
Coins going back as far as 1931. We found an RB Bennett coin in there. We thought we were rich for about 10
minutes. A 1930 Richard Bennett Canadian coin.
I thought our ship had come in, Jay. Our ship had not come in.
That was retirement.
$4.50.
$4.50 or $4.50?
No, there's $4.50. There's one for purchase on eBay right now $4.50. For $4.50.
Mint condition?
Well, this one looks like it's been sitting in a field for 70 years.
Yeah.
So we got that. We got an old shotgun shell. We got a bunch of old weird shit. So then they started digging the hole.
Yeah.
Guy comes in, backhoe. There's like 3 dump trucks waiting in convoy, and I'm excited as fuck because you know I like to see work going top speed. They stopped digging. I drove by today. They're just sitting there kicking it. There's no one's working. And I'm like, what's going on? And they're like, we got to shore up the sides of the land. What does this mean? Shore up the sides of the land.
So
I was like, yeah, totally. So I got to go. And then I left.
We got to your site last week as they had started digging and they had it about 1/4 dug out. And so they were close to depth on about one side of it.
What does close to depth mean?
Close to depth is the depth that you're going to be digging. Your final depth is basically...
Basically.
The height you're going to be putting your footings on, right? And when you get to full depth, you can observe what the soil is, you know, and if it's really good expansive clay, then it will look like when you take a knife on margarine, you know, it'll cut really nice with the backhoe. Mm-hmm. If it starts to like peel and rip, it can kind of be a little moist, right? And so you usually get samples at that point. But what I noticed immediately was you had about 3 feet of topsoil and then underneath was like really nice beach sand. Mm. And so my first thing I said to you was,
beach.
Wow, this is really sandy. And
so we're in Riverdale. This is like down.
So you say we have a sandy hole?
We have a sandy hole.
We're at the bottom of the River Valley.
That's not good, I don't think.
No.
This is like, if you're digging in Edmonton, this is like the low point of anywhere in Edmonton you'd be digging.
Yes. Yeah.
So it's sand.
Subterranean.
So it's sand. So like in Calgary, do you know that they have like kind of, it's more rock? Like it's like, because they're more in the mountains, right? It's more of rock. So we have
blast out shit?
Well, no. It just means that they have different ways of pouring foundations and different ways of like doing their footings and stuff, where we do like, we can put piles in our ground 12 feet.
Like we had to do under the patio here?
Yeah, because our clay is so strong, right? And it's so packed that is enough, enough support for just a pile. It won't move in that. If you go 12 feet down, the frost isn't going to lift it. You know, we only have a four foot frost line.
What does that mean?
What about the basically,
bifrost? So it's like in the middle of the winter, when it gets to its very coldest, chances are is the frost has only gotten into the ground 4 feet.
It's kind of beneath that. It's still warm.
Well, it's not warm, but it's not freezing. It's when it frosts, it actually like expands because the moisture in the ground is freezing.
That's why like we get potholes.
And that's why we get potholes. Yeah. But that's also why houses lift up. You know what I mean?
Like houses lift up.
Well, things lift up.
And like, really?
Well, they can. If you have just like a garage on a concrete pad and it's just on the ground, if you did some sort of measurement to like a fence or something, or if you ever noticed that your garage door might not shut perfectly in the winter, but it shuts perfectly in the summer, it doesn't take much, man. The ground could go up like literally a half of an inch.
Even though the earth is flat, Jay, thoughts?
flat earthers. So what I said to you was like, the minute the guy came over and I said, yeah, Sandy, hey, what do you think of that? And he goes, well, it's really sandy. And it's not going to be a big deal. We'll just do bigger footings, which is not a big deal at all, as long as you have the structure down at the bottom of the hole. But then my second question was, well, you guys got a fence all along that side and you've got a sidewalk all along this side and you're digging pretty close to them because you got to dig your hole bigger than you actually dig the foundation or pour the foundation because the guy's got to be able to set forms up and take forms down on both sides of that. So you're getting really close. If you have a 4 foot side yard, you're mostly digging all of that up just to get the workers in there, right? So they're digging really close to that fence. And I said, so what, how do you feel about that fence falling in? And he's like, well, I'm a little worried about it, to be honest. And it's probably like 25 feet long.
Yeah.
And so what they're going to do now is they're going to dig it. And before any rain or moisture comes, because it won't just fall in. Like it's got to, if there's some moisture or we get like a rain, that's when it'll happen. It'll start to slough. So what they're going to do is they are going to shore it up.
Thank God.
And I don't know.
Yeah, it snowed all weekend.
Yeah, but that wasn't, it was a slow, like that was actually the best thing for you guys because.
Oh, nice.
It didn't.
Snowed all weekend.
Yeah, it was a slow absorption into it where like a rain would kind of erode it away faster. The snow was just landing on it, melted, went in the ground. It wasn't causing like a quick.
So I've seen this in construction sites where they like put board straight vertically down.
Yes, so they're going to keep the earth out of the hole.
So how do they attach those boards to?
So the shoring, well, it's going to come. I mean, I don't know what type of shoring they're using, but if you go look at like guys that are doing utilities in the middle of a city, like on a city block, they'll lower in basically like 6x6 timbered walls that they just, they put together with like metal.
Oh, I've seen those.
And then they
lower
like them in on all four sides.
Up at the top of the hill. That
So
how do they, but like, what are they? There's like metal too, isn't there? So they put like big metal straight into the ground.
Yes. So that's, so you, is that what you're having over there? Cause I didn't drive by, but if you're getting metal shoring.
I acted tough and left.
Yeah. So metal shoring's.
Shoring. Yeah, of course. Anyways. Know, yeah. See Endgame. Peace.
All I heard was cha-ching.
Yeah.
We're making money.
No, like that's our money going out.
Oh, good.
Yeah. It's costing.
Unforeseen expense.
Oh, good. So
you got to love that you get your first contingency on your first thing.
We had it as a line item. We were planning for this.
Okay.
We knew it was a 30% chance. Yeah. We were just hoping we wouldn't hit it.
Yeah.
No, it's, they had it. Smart. No, so I know
it
you
was,
had it.
It was part of it, but we had a 30% chance of being okay. No, 30% chance of not being okay.
Man, damn it all to hell. Well, that's the building update for this week, Jay. Yeah,
that's so my worst of the week.
The cha-ching that I thought meant we made money means we cost us money.
Yeah.
I thought snowing screwed us over on the shoring, and it actually didn't screw us over on the shoring.
No, but the shoring is going to go in. It's going to come out in about a week, and you're going to be
back
on track.
Yeah, just another little step in the mix. But One week in, already had a little snafu.
That's the building update for this week. Jared, how much time do we have? 0 minutes. Well, I even checked out to the Game of Thrones talk and the Avengers talk, but I really liked the beginning Avengers talk. Mm-hmm. I give this episode 3 apples out of it. That's Real Life. Talk to you next week.
Excuse me there. I just lost my train of thought.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High-quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.